From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We're glad you've decided to join us for today's program. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch inviting you to stay with us for a message from God's Holy Word, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his studies in the life of Christ as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled The Unconcealable Christ. In Matthew 15 and Mark 7, the Lord Jesus Christ left the land of Israel for a short time and went into the region of Tyre and Sidon. In spite of his efforts to remain unnoticed, he could not be hid. The Syrophoenician woman recognized him and sought his help. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns continues this month's emphasis on the Protestant Reformation with today's hot topic, Transubstantiation of Blasphemy.
During this month, as we have remembered something of the debt that we owe to the Protestant Reformation, I have made mention of the blasphemy of the Mass. It comes as a surprise to many, even to those who are Bible-believing Christians, to hear a preacher condemn the central act of the rites and worship of the Roman Catholic Church in such terms. Such people think of the Mass as just a form of the communion service, different from what Protestants may be used to, but not intrinsically evil. In itself, that tells us a lot about how far Protestantism has drifted from its historic biblical moorings. It tells us that unless we renew our grasp of fundamental Christian doctrine, we are in danger of losing what God gave us through the Protestant Reformation. So, let me deal directly with what makes Rome's central act of worship such a blasphemous and anti-Christian thing. As I do so, I should remind you that what I'm stating is not just my view, but it's the uniform teaching of the great historic Protestant confessions and creeds. The reason for the charge of blasphemy is the Roman dogma of transubstantiation, insisting on absolutely literal interpretation of Christ's words at the institution of the Lord's Supper. This is my body, this is my blood. Rome has evolved a dogmatic statement, the acceptance of which she claims is essential to salvation, that says that at the priest's words of consecration, the elements, that's the bread and the wine, are actually and really changed as to their substance into the very body and blood of Christ. Indeed, Rome claims that when this change takes place, the wafer that the priest holds in his hand is made into the total person of Christ, including his humanity and his deity. This explains why a Spanish priest I personally witnessed performing this wonderful miracle in Madrid a few years ago held the wafer up before the people and said, "This is your God." And I may insert that it also explains why in every Roman Catholic church there is a tabernacle where the host is kept and where the host must be adored or worshipped. In Madrid, no one seemed at all surprised at the priest's words. They had all been reared to believe this blasphemy and did not for a moment consider the idolatrous implications of worshipping a little wafer made out of flour and water. For that's all it was, a wafer. There was no change of substance. Rome concedes as much. She recognizes that if you subject one of her consecrated wafers to scientific analysis, it is demonstrably the same substance as it always was. Rome falls back on an old medieval philosophical ruse and claims that the wafer really is changed, but it retains all the accidents, that is, things such as shape, appearance, and dimensions of the original. This is a pathetic attempt to deny the obvious. Not only the accidents, but the very substance remains chemically unchanged. So where is the transubstantiation, which is, by definition, a change of substance? The Bible speaks of us drinking the cup at the Lord's table. Cup is not to be taken literally. We drink the wine, not the cup. The terms are figurative. Bread and wine represent the body and blood of Christ. But we mustn't make these precious symbols into idols. We should thank the Lord for delivering us from the worship of the wafer god that the papacy has foisted on its gullible people. Rome's dogma of transubstantiation is both blasphemous and idolatrous. Good reasons for us to repudiate each and every attempt to seek that union with Rome that so many leaders of Protestant denominations are avidly pursuing.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now the parallel passage in Mark, chapter 7, verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, let the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. In Mark's account of this episode in the life of Christ that we have just been reading, there is a beautiful statement at the end of verse 24, when he would have entered into a house and would have no man know it. We read, but he could not be hid. He could not be hid. For a number of very good reasons, the Lord Jesus Christ retreated from Galilee after exposing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, as we noted last Lord's Day, and he visited the regions of Tyre and Sidon. Now, it's very easy for us to read that he went into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. But this is one of those cases. Another one would be the references in the Gospels to Christ going to Samaria. This is one of those cases where you need to read a little Old Testament history and understand what lies behind such a statement. There was a tremendous hatred that existed between the Zidonians and the Jews, and it was perfectly mutual. So for the Lord Jesus Christ to enter into the region of Tyre and Sidon would have made him very unpopular with the Jews, especially given that he had just launched the attack upon their leaders that we read of last Lord's Day. But I think it would have made him much more than unpopular. I think it would have exposed him to immediate danger. Recollect what we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, that in his first public sermon in Nazareth, the Lord Jesus had mentioned the historical fact that every Jew had to realize from reading the Old Testament, the historical fact that during a time of intense famine and therefore of great need, there were many needy widows in Israel, but Elijah the prophet had not ministered miraculously to one of them, but had gone instead to a widow of Zarephath, that is a city of Zidon. And miraculously he had ministered to her. As soon as the Galileans in Nazareth heard Jesus mention that fact, we read that they tried to murder him on the spot. So enraged were they at the thought of God daring to minister to a woman of Sidon. Yet, despite the danger, here the Lord Jesus was actually going to Sidon, not merely speaking about it in an historical context, but actually going there in person. Not only going there, but like Elijah before him, miraculously answering the cry of a Zidonian mother whose child was in need of the healing touch of God. As I said, the Lord Jesus had good reasons for going there, and I think we can learn a lot about him from his words and works on this occasion. First thing you have to see in here is that he went quietly. He sought no public attention. Indeed, he didn't want anybody to know of his presence. And then we have that word of Mark 7 and 34, or 24, he could not be hid. Even when the Syrophoenician woman had found him and identified him by his name for all who were in her hearing, he still remained silent. And I think one of the reasons is obvious, that the Lord Jesus was still seeking no publicity. Not going into the reasons for that, except to say that obviously he and his disciples needed a time of quiet. This was one of those times when, in effect, he said, "Come ye apart and rest a while." Beyond that, there were times, you'll see them again and again in his ministry, when he did a miracle and he said, "Keep quiet about it." Because unlike most in the church who think crowds are always a blessing, the Lord Jesus very often realized that the crowds were actually an impediment to his doing his work. And so on this occasion, he sought no publicity. There were other reasons. We have read of his words, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And I think those words give us a deeper insight into the reasons why he wanted to remain there quietly. Think of this. Here's his mission. The Father had sent him to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, if that were his mission, in other words, if the time of the bringing in of the Gentiles was not yet come, how could he go to Tyre and Sidon, which were Gentile lands, and do the work of establishing his kingdom there? Now, that's a very big question. It's not just a dry historical question. It's a question that's full of theological significance, and it's a question that's very practically significant to us. It's very obvious that the Lord Jesus Christ was working according to his Father's eternal plan and purpose. There's no denying either the absolute sovereignty of God's plan. You remember, Paul quotes Jehovah I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's the sovereign purpose and plan of God. On whom does God have mercy? On whom God chooses to have mercy. And however hard that saying sounds to the carnal mind of man, that is God's sovereign and undeniable prerogative. And if He willed, as He did, to send His Son first to the Jews and not to the Gentiles, that was His prerogative. And it's very interesting, when the Lord Jesus in Matthew 10 was sending out His disciples, He told them not to go by the way of the Gentiles, but to restrict their ministry totally within the geographical and national boundaries of the children of Israel. The Lord Jesus was working according to God's eternal purpose. Now you have to see something very simple, simple to say that is, but it's on the surface, but how profound it is. When you and I would put this together, God's purpose was to send Christ to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the purpose of God exclusively. Now we see Him in the Gentile world, and we see a Gentile, not only a Gentile, but a Syrophoenician, one whose nationality was particularly antagonistic to the Jewish people. Not only a Syrophoenician, but a heathen, as the word translated Greekly, it's not speaking of Greek by nationality, it's speaking of her as a heathen. When such a woman comes to Him, in a place to which He had not been sent to build His kingdom according to God's eternal purpose, we would put two and two together and say, Jesus will do and can do no work there. But you see, we have got to realize that the eternal purpose of God does not place the restrictions on Him that our little minds and theological schemes may conceive that they place upon Him. To us, the logic would be irrefutable. God sent you only to the house of Israel. This is a Syrophoenician woman living in Sidon. She's a heathen and a Gentile. Therefore, according to the purpose of God, she is not to be reached with the gospel. But the fact of the matter is that Christ did work there. And He did do His kingdom ministry there. However much it may appear to men to contradict God's sovereign purpose, the truth is it did not contradict that purpose. We must learn something that humbles us here. You know, it's always true when people learn a little theology, they think they know more than they really do. And it's always tragic to see this. When they have their little theological scheme and they can box the infinite God up within the boundaries of that scheme, and they think they can tell God whom He can love and whom He can't love and whom He can save and whom He can't save. I believe absolutely that God works according to His sovereign eternal purpose. I believe in the predestinating, electing decree of a sovereign God. But I also believe that it is the utmost folly for me or anybody else to come along and try by my logic to work out how God must execute that purpose. Thank you.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.